Today is the 18th day of August. Welcome back. Welcome back around the global campfire. I am Brian. Welcome back to Daily Audio Bible. It is great to be here with you today and every day as we continue our grand journey, the voyage through a year together and through the scriptures. So here we are. We concluded the book of Nehemiah yesterday in the Old Testament. We have not concluded the stories that take place from exile, and that brings us into some new territory today. We will begin the book of Esther, and it's a breath of fresh air. It's a short book in length. The story is high in drama. If you are using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can watch the short film, the flyover of the book of Esther, to kind of get a visual on where we are going. Esther tells the story of a young Hebrew girl. Her name is Hadassah. She was orphaned while in exile in Persia. We've talked about exile, how so often families are completely broken up and sent to different places. Many die. Many are never seen again. So Esther is orphaned, or Hadassah is orphaned while in Persia, and is taken in and raised as a daughter by her cousin Mordecai, who was of the tribe of Benjamin. And exiled Hebrews often had to take on localized names. So Hadassah was given the name Esther, and that translates as star or morning star in Jewish Hebrew tradition. We are told that Esther was staggeringly beautiful in her appearance, and that she possessed a quiet character. And when King Ahasuerus, who was thought to be Xerxes, sought to find a replacement for the queen that was banished, her name was Vashti, for her insubordination, a grand search was made for a new queen, and he chose Esther. And she kept her ethnicity a secret, which proved monumentally providential in the story. Because around the same time, a man named Haman rose to prominence before the king. And Haman was a descendant of King Agag of Amalek. And as we recall, the Hebrews and the Amalekites had been hostile to one another all the way back to their origins, which would be Jacob and Esau. The prophet Samuel had executed King Agag after King Saul defeated the Amalekites in battle. So Haman's hatred of the Jews is generational, and it is reignited when Mordecai would not bow before him, the king's highest official in honor. And so Haman devises a plan to, well, to do away with Mordecai, but to annihilate every single Jew in the Persian Empire. A complete genocide. So on one side of the king is this beautiful Jewish queen, Esther, and on the other side is this high official Haman, who intends to wipe the Jews from the earth. So great struggle and tension play out in that drama. And we come to a very redemptive but very dramatic conclusion. The book of Esther in Hebrew culture is the basis for the festival of Purim, which was established by Mordecai in this book. And the story takes place during the same general period of history that we've been reading about in Nehemiah and the previous books that describe the diaspora, or the exile, the dispersion. And so many parallels we will see in the book of Esther that actually apply into our own lives. Messages and comfort that God will show up, even if the circumstances don't always dictate the outcome of things. And that everybody has an important role to play. God brings people into the picture for specific times, specific missions, to get major things done in his kingdom. And that can be as large as a queen saving God's people from destruction, or God sending you to someone that you see in need very close by. We're all for such a time as this here if we're available. And so, let's jump in and enjoy the Book of Esther today, chapters 1, 2, and 3. These events took place during the days of Ahasuerus, who ruled 127 provinces from India to Kush. In those days, King Ahasuerus reigned from his royal throne in the fortress at Susa. He held a feast in the third year of his reign for all his officials and staff, the army of Persia and Media, the nobles and the officials from the provinces. He displayed the glorious wealth of his kingdom and the magnificent splendor of his greatness for a total of 180 days. At the end of this time, the king held a week-long banquet in the garden courtyard of the royal palace for all the people, from the greatest to the least, who were present in the fortress of Susa. White and blue linen hangings were fastened with fine white and purple linen cords to silver rods on marble columns. Gold and silver couches were arranged on a mosaic pavement of red feldspar, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. Drinks were served in an array of gold goblets, each with a different design. Royal wine flowed freely according to the king's bounty. The drinking was according to royal decree. There are no restrictions. The king had ordered every wine steward in his household to serve whatever each person wanted. Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the women of King Ahasuerus' palace. On the seventh day, when the king was feeling good from the wine, Ahasuerus commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zatar, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who personally served him, to bring Queen Vashti before him with her royal crown. He wanted to show off her beauty to the people and the officials because she was very beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command that was delivered by his eunuchs. The king became furious, and his anger burned within him. The king consulted the wise men who understood the times, for it was his normal procedure to confer with experts in law and justice. The most trusted ones were Karshena, Shitar, Admata, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, and Memucan. They were the seven officials of Persia and Media who had personal access to the king and occupied the highest positions in the kingdom. The king asked, "According to the law, what should be done with Queen Vashti, since she refused to obey King Ahasuerus' command that was delivered by the eunuchs?" Memucan said in the presence of the king and his officials, "Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but all the officials and the people who are in every one of King Ahasuerus' provinces. For the queen's action will become public knowledge to all the women and cause them to despise their husbands and say, 'King Ahasuerus ordered Queen Vashti brought before him, but she did not come.' Before this day is over, the noble women of Persia and Media who hear about the queen's act will say the same thing to all the king's officials, resulting in more contempt and fury. If it meets the king's approval, he should personally issue a royal decree. Let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes so that it cannot be revoked. Vashti is not to enter King Ahasuerus' presence, and her royal position is to be given to another woman who is more worthy than she. The decree the king issues will be heard throughout his vast kingdom, so all women will honor their husbands from the greatest to the least." The king and his counselors approved the proposal, and he followed Memucan's advice. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to each province in its own script and to each ethnic group in its own language, that every man should be master of his own house and speak in the language of his own people. Sometime later, when King Ahasuerus' rage had cooled down, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what was decided against her. The king's personal attendants suggested, let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in each province of his kingdom, so that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem at the fortress of Susa. Put them under the supervision of Haggai, the king's eunuch, keeper of the women, and give them the required beauty treatments. Then the young woman who pleases the king will become queen instead of Vashti. This suggestion pleased the king, and he did accordingly. In the fortress of Susa, there was a Jewish man named Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjaminite. Kish had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with the other captives when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took King Jeconiah of Judah into exile. Mordecai was the legal guardian of his cousin Hadassah, that is Esther, because she had no father or mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was extremely good-looking. When her father and mother died, Mordecai had adopted her as his own daughter. When the king's command and edict became public knowledge, and when many young women were gathered at the fortress of Susa under Haggai's supervision, Esther was taken to the palace, into the supervision of Haggai, keeper of the women. The young woman pleased him and gained his favor, so that he accelerated the process of the beauty treatments and the special diet that she received. He assigned 7 hand-picked female servants to her from the palace and transferred her and her servants to the harem's best quarters. Esther did not reveal her ethnicity or her family background because Mordecai had ordered her not to make them known. Every day, Mordecai took a walk in front of the harem's courtyard to learn how Esther was doing and to see what was happening to her. During the year before each young woman's turn to go to King Ahasuerus, the harem regulation required her to receive beauty treatments with oil of myrrh for 6 months, and then with perfumes and cosmetics for another 6 months. When the young woman would go to the king, she was given whatever she requested to take with her from the harem to the palace. She would go in the evening, and in the morning, she would return to a second harem under the supervision of the king's eunuch Sheazgaz, keeper of the concubines. She never went to the king again unless he desired her and summoned her by name. Esther was the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had adopted her as his own daughter. When her turn came to go to the king, she did not ask for anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, keeper of the women, suggested. Esther gained favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Ahasuerus in the palace in the 10th month, the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women. She won more favor and approval from him than did any of the other virgins. He placed the royal crown on her head and made her queen in place of Vashti. The king held a great banquet for all his officials and staff. It was Esther's banquet. He freed his provinces from tax payments and gave gifts worthy of the king's bounty. When the virgins were gathered a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther still did not reveal her family background or her ethnicity, as Mordecai had directed. She obeyed Mordecai's orders as she always had, while he raised her. During those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigdan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the entrance, became infuriated and planned to assassinate King Ahasuerus. When Mordecai learned of the plot, he reported it to Queen Esther, and she told the king on Mordecai's behalf. When the report was investigated and verified, both men were hanged on the gallows. This event was recorded in the historical record in the king's presence. After all this took place, King Ahasuerus honored Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. He promoted him in rank and gave him a higher position than all the other officials. The entire royal staff at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, because the king had commanded this to be done for him. but Mordecai would not bow down or pay homage. The members of the royal staff at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" When they had warned him day after day, and he still would not listen to them, they told Haman in order to see if Mordecai's actions would be tolerated, since he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai was not bowing down or paying him homage, he was filled with rage. And when he learned of Mordecai's ethnic identity, it seemed repugnant to Haman to do away with Mordecai alone. He planned to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout Ahasuerus' kingdom. In the first month, the month of Nisan, in King Ahasuerus' 12th year, the poor, that is the lot, was cast before Haman for each day in each month. And it fell on the 12th month, the month Adar. Then Haman informed King Ahasuerus, "There is one ethnic group scattered throughout the peoples in every province of your kingdom, keeping themselves separate. Their laws are different from everyone else's, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If the king approves, let an order be drawn up authorizing their destruction, and I will pay 375 tons of silver to the officials for deposit in the royal treasury." The king removed his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Then the king told Haman, "The money and people are given to you to do with as you see fit." The royal scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the first month, and the order was written exactly as Haman commanded. It was intended for the royal satraps, the governors of each of the provinces, and the officials of each ethnic group, and written for each province in its own script, and to each ethnic group in its own language. It was written in the name of King Ahasuerus, and sealed with the royal signet ring. Letters were sent by couriers to each of the royal provinces, telling the officials to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jewish people, young and old, women and children, and plunder their possessions on a single day, the 13th day of Adar, the 12th month. A copy of the text issued as law throughout every province was distributed to all the peoples so that they might get ready for that day. The couriers left, spurred on by royal command, and the law was issued in the fortress of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink, while the city of Susa was in confusion. First Corinthians 11, 17 through 34. "Now, in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. Indeed, it is necessary that there be factions among you, so that those who are approved may be recognized among you. When you come together, then, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For at the meal, each one eats his own supper. So one person is hungry while another gets drunk. Don't you have homes in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I praise you? I do not praise you in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. In this way, let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, welcome one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you gather together, you will not come under judgment. I will give instructions about the other matters whenever I come. Psalm 35, 17 to 28. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages. Rescue my precious life from the young lions. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will exalt you among many people. Do not let my deceitful enemies rejoice over me. Do not let those who hate me without cause wink at me maliciously, for they do not speak in friendly ways, but contrive fraudulent schemes against those who live peacefully in the land. They open their mouths wide against me and say, "Aha! Aha, we saw it." You saw it, Lord. Do not be silent. Lord, do not be far from me. Wake up and rise to my defense, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, Lord my God, in keeping with your righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. Do not let them say in their hearts, "Aha, just what we wanted." Do not let them say, "We have swallowed him up." Let those who rejoice at my misfortune be disgraced and humiliated. Let those who exalt themselves over me be clothed with shame and reproach. Let those who want my vindication shout for joy and be glad. Let them continually say, "The Lord be exalted. He takes pleasure in his servant's well-being." And my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praise, all day long. Proverbs 21, 19 and 20. Better to live in a wilderness than with a nagging and hot-tempered wife. Precious treasure and oil are in the dwelling of a wise person, but a fool consumes them. Father, we thank you for another day, another step forward. Thank you for bringing us into this new territory, the book of Esther. So much a breath of fresh air in some of the territory that we've navigated through. And so thank you for bringing us successfully to this point. And as we continue the story, which is very dramatic, we invite your Holy Spirit to help us see what we need to see, hear what we need to hear, apply what we need to apply, and move forward the better for it. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, that we might walk in the truth. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. They are where you find out what is going on around here, but also, well, this is the way. This is like right around the global campfire. This is how to move through a year in community. And so be sure to have the app. And while you are doing some checking, because 5 minutes will get you really familiar with everything that's going on there, check out the community section. This is where the prayer wall lives. That is always on and never off, always available. No matter what is happening in our lives, there's always a place to reach out. There are many different sections there. A record a video section, record like 1 minute of yourself, how the Bible has become a rhythm and a part of your life. And then we all, you know, we all can kind of get to know each other that way. And so, yeah, click that button in the community section. Click the music button. You'll find all of the different music from Daily Audio Bible in there. Just check out the community section and be familiar with it. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire is a place of peace and safety and is life-giving, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. And I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Lisa the Encourager. This is August 10th. Wow, thank you so much for sending that praise report. I shed a tear. You made me so happy. And, you know, our God is so amazing. Again, thank you for that beautiful praise report. This is Megumi from Indonesia. You can call me Meg. I'm so, so blessed to hear your praise report. Thank you so much. God bless.
Good morning. This is Melissa from Houston. It's Monday, August 10th, and I just wanted to call with a praise report. I'm getting ready to go to my new job this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm so grateful and excited. Thank you all for your prayers for me throughout this season. And I just love you so much, and I'm so grateful for you all. And I will keep praying for you all. I want to say thank you to Cowboy, especially. I'm praying for the hole in your heart and that you would just lean on God for everything that you need. And I just thank you all for your prayers and your love. I'm grateful to you all, and I'm going to keep praying for you. And I just love this community so much. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, our hearts are filled with gratitude for all the blessings you have poured into our lives. We thank you for every single one of them, both big and small. We are so grateful for the wonderful people you have placed in our lives, our family, our friends, and all those we come in contact with in our community. Thank you for the doors of opportunity you have opened for us, allowing us to grow and serve. Most of all, we thank you for the unconditional love we have experienced, a love that reminds us of your presence in our lives. Help us to never take these gifts for granted. May we always use our blessings to bless others and bring glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy in Kentucky. And today I'm asking the Lord to be with Samantha's sister. He's been dealing with cancer and recently had a stroke. And on top of that, her daughter is suffering with mental issues and substance abuse. Oh, Lord, these burdens are way too much for this woman to carry. And Father, your word says that we are not to carry these burdens, but to give them to you. That's easier said than done in most cases, for most of us anyway. But when we finally realize there's nothing, nothing we can do apart from you, that all we can do is lay them down and trust. Father, I pray for healing for both this mother and this daughter. Father, we also are praying for Blake, who is in his 30s. He's Elizabeth's friend. He volunteered in a hospital because he wants to pursue a degree in medicine. And Father, he took a shot that this hospital required him to take. And now he's having heart issues. Father, we're just praying that you will be with this young man. He's got such a good friend in Elizabeth. Thank you that she can speak life into him. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that you will heal this young man and let him pursue the dream of becoming a doctor. Also, Elizabeth's brother-in-law, Brian, with Parkinson's, we've prayed for him before, and Father, it seems that it's getting worse. Lord, be with him and heal him, we ask. And also, Elizabeth's brother is addicted to marijuana. So many people are reaching out to other things in this world besides you. So, Father, we ask that they will meet people that you send, your angels, to speak life into them. In your name we pray.
Hi there, this is H, and my marriage is just really struggling. We both love the Lord, and I think we've just been through a really hard, difficult season. He had a very, very, very stressful job that was gone a lot, and we have two little girls, very close in age, and we're just in this season now, kind of coming out of, you know, 5 or 6 years of just trying to survive, and it just feels like marriage is not easy, and I could just really use prayer. Because we both want to love and serve the Lord, but there's times where it feels so difficult. If you could just pray for us, we'd be so grateful.
Good evening, Dab family. This is Lord I Am Joy calling in with a praise report from our friend Taylor and her liver. The doctors gave her a biopsy last week. Yesterday they called and gave her a new diagnosis that she does not have the liver failure as they originally thought, but it's fibrosis stage 2, and they said that she's going to live as long as she possibly can. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Lord, for answering our prayers and for this beautiful, wonderful family. And I also want to pray for the gentleman who called in about the hole in his heart. And I just pray that the Lord comes in and heals beyond what we can imagine or think. And he restores and repairs the hole in his heart physically and spiritually, where there is a gap, that you make it small, and that, Lord, you come in with your Holy of Holy Spirits and the blood of Jesus and bring in restoration that only you can do, that miracles beyond miracles be done on his behalf, and that you add on his life a weight that is lifted and a new form of understanding and thankfulness in his heart. And Lord, reveal to him what is causing it. In Jesus'